Chapter 13. "We've got to get the others and get out of here now," I warned all of my friends. "If the dragons are awake already, that means we're in big trouble."
"Not necessarily,"
Sela argued.
"What if they're awake because Jonas was successful with the rebonding ceremony?"
"Shit, shit, 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 shit!"
Eric's voice suddenly screamed as my son hoisted himself out of the volcano with the climbing rope.
"Okay,"
the moss-scaled dragon warrior admitted.
"So it looks bad. But maybe Eric is swearing out of excitement?"
"Get the fuck off the mountain!" Jonas's fearful voice commanded. "Get the fuck off this mountain now!"
The robed soothsayer appeared over the edge of the volcano's opening with a look of pure terror plastered on his face. Lazan and Nadir were right behind him, and the two Kunag women didn't say a word as they helped him over to our position. Then all of the Morpho women sprang forth from the innards of the volcano, carried by their neon-colored wings.
"Okay,"
Sela nodded stoically.
"We can panic now. I'm fine with that."
"Ben!"
Jonas practically sobbed when he saw me.
I'm sorry, Ben. I had this ceremony all under control, but then the noise of the cannons distracted me and I couldn't remember the words. I only stuttered for a brief second, but it's all my fault."
"Don't worry about that right now," I reassured the elderly dragonkin. "We'll figure out what went wrong later. Right now, we need to save our skins before we become dragon food."
"The fuckers of mothers!"
Mira swore as her eyes darted around.
"Where the hell are we gonna find a place to hide? There's nowhere here on the mountain, and I don't think we'll do much better out in the forest."
The golden-scaled warrior was right. If we stayed on the volcano, we ran the risk of getting fried by the dragon's fire or getting caught up in a rock slide. However, if we tried to make a break for it and went into the forest, we would surely be incinerated. There was only one way I could think of that might get us out of here alive, but it was risky. "There's not much we can do," I admitted to my crewmates. "But there is one thing about this situation we can use to our advantage."
"And what in Cuckoo's name is that?"
Ahuara demanded.
"We're in trouble, Ben. Major trouble."
"The orcs think we're in control of the dragons," I explained.
"So?"
Elzara questioned.
"We're not."
"But they don't know that," I pointed out into the forest. "If they think the dragons are our allies, they're going to attack them without hesitation."
"And if they attack the dragons, then the dragons will go after them,"
Dalwin grinned.
"And then, while they're distracted, we can slip away. Brilliant Draco Rex."
"Don't give me any of the credit yet," I warned. "We still aren't out of the woods yet, physically or metaphorically." Then we heard the sound that would haunt us for years. The beating of wings. Large, unconstricted wings. Suddenly, the giant emerald dragon burst out through the top of the volcano. His wingspan was nearly the size of a frickin' blue whale, and he hovered in the sky ominously as he looked down at his surroundings. The two red twins were next, and they flew out with an intricate intertwining flight pattern. Sparks of white-hot flame sprayed from their lips as they dragged a literal trail of smoke behind them, and then they split off to each side of the green dragon. Next was the baby amethyst-colored dragon, accompanied by the pitch-black one. Both of them hovered in the air beside each other, as if the larger one was the parent or mentor of the child. Tyrion's mother was next, and she unleashed a blast of blue flames out of her mouth as she soared up into the clouds. Then her shadow stopped just beyond the clouds, where it hung over the landscape ominously. Tyrion's mother was followed by the elderly dragon, who didn't really cause much fanfare. And last but not least was the fat dragon, who burst up into the sky like the freaking Kool-Aid Man. All eight of the dragons were now free, and they looked furious. Their eyes were a bright glowing red, and their mouths seemed to be permanently aglow with fire. Thankfully, the orcs around us really were as stupid as we thought. They'd been steadily moving the cannons closer, and once they were in range, we heard explosions as the cannons went off, and then several iron cannonballs rocketed toward the flying creatures. The giant, deadly dragons were caught off guard by the sudden assault, and they let out painful roars as the cannonball slammed into them. However, these things must have had thick skin. Not to mention, There was a lot of space between the orcs and the dragons, which meant the cannonballs probably lost a bit of velocity. Either way, the projectile simply hit the dragon's scales and then bounced off as if they'd been shot with a pellet gun. Luckily for us, it was still annoying as hell to get shot with a pellet gun. The fat dragon struck first. His jowls trembled as he unleashed a mighty roar down at the orcs. Then the hefty brown dragon opened his mouth and unleashed a giant blast of red and yellow fire down on his enemies. The attack was way larger than anything Tyrion had ever produced, and I gasped as I watched it engulf almost the entire eastern quadrant of the island.
Oh my god, I sputtered. How the fuck are we going to outrun these things?
My heart was in my knees, and I knew I was now visibly trembling. I always knew these dragons would be dangerous and destructive, but I never realized they would be this bad.
Well, Dad,
Eric chuckled nervously.
I guess this explains the vision Jonas had, huh?
Thanks, son. How are you not quaking in your boots right now? I asked the Dragon Prince. The black dragon unloaded a shot of flames down onto the same spot as the fat dragon had fired on, and all of the cannons in that area went silent.
Because we have Melky, Eric declared. We're bonded with water dragons, Dad. We're made to fight the flames.
Are you crazy, child?
Sela scoffed.
Do you see what those things are capable of? I know we love our water dragons, but it would be suicide for them to try and stand up to a fire dragon.
I second that,
Malky gulped.
In fact, I don't think I ever want to see another fire dragon again in my life. No offense, Tyrion.
Even though he'd been addressed by name, Tyrion didn't respond. The little silver dragon was too busy staring up into the clouds at his long-lost mother.
I'm not talking about fighting those dragons,
Eric explained.
Malky's water breath can help us escape through the burning forest.
The light bulb turned on in my head at my son's words. He was right. It was risky, but if we tried to travel directly through the flames, we might just be able to get away without attracting any further attention.
Good thinking, son, I declared as I wrapped Eric up in a firm embrace. See? You'll make a damn fine Draco Rex someday.
More cannon shots rang out, and they were immediately met by the fiery breath of the Emerald Dragon. The jolly green giant turned his attention to the western quadrant of the island, reared his head back, and then unloaded a devastating blast down onto the ground. The white-hot fire torched everything it touched, from the trees to the orcs to the cannons themselves. Hell, I wouldn't have been surprised if somehow the fire had been hot enough to even turn the sandy ground into a single sheet of molten glass.
Do we make a break for it now?
Awara suggested.
Or should we wait until the orcs are all destroyed?
I'm worried that if we wait, there won't be anything left to go back to, I growled.
Why would that be so?
Dalwin questioned.
I thought the dragons were only attacking the orcs because the orcs were attacking them.
Not particularly, Jonas grumbled. With this sort of thing, there is always a risk of the dragons awakening with what I like to call a hibernation haze, where they are confused and simply lash out at anything they could possibly perceive as a potential threat. That risk is next to nothing when the ceremony is done correctly, but...
You got interrupted by the cannons. I finished the soothsayer's sentence for him. So they're really, really in a confused state right now.
And probably more dangerous,
Mira noted.
So what do you want me to do?
Malky gulped. When I give you the signal, I want you to spray your water breath up into the air, I explained, so that it creates a sort of water shield around us as we move. Do you think you have enough strength and energy to do that?
Oh, we don't really have a choice,
the copper-scaled dragon reminded me.
It's either we try this, or we all burn.
All right, I nodded firmly to the dragon. Everybody get close to Malky, and only move when he moves. Got it?
Got it,
the deer agreed, and everyone else nodded in turn. More cannon fire rang out from behind us, and we watched as several more large black projectiles blasted from the tree line. This time, however, the cannonballs actually seemed to be doing some damage. They struck the wrinkled elderly dragon square in the chest, and the poor creature groaned in agony as a few scales fell from his body.
Tyrion's mom apparently did not like that. From up in the clouds, we heard a powerful, earth-shaking roar. The shadow of the golden dragon grew bigger as she descended from the sky, and then her gargantuan figure appeared through the mist. Her mouth was already aglow with white-hot fire, and she had a look of pure, murderous rage in her eyes as she floated to a stop directly in front of the elderly dragon. Tyrion's mother bellowed as she unleashed a fan of flames from her mouth and completely engulfed the bottom of the volcano. Even though there was still one more regiment of orcs to the north, the cannons ceased completely. They may have been unbelievably stupid, but not too stupid to realize they were totally fucked. "We gotta go," I ordered my crew. "Morphos, grab the Molebat hide. But if it becomes a problem, drop it. Your safety comes first. Malky, do your thing. Everybody else, stick close." We all got up to the copper-scale dragon, and then he began to softly spray a jet of his salt water into the sky. Once the stream hit its peak, it fanned out and cascaded down around Malky's body, as well as those of us who were close to him. I just hoped the water would be cool enough to keep us from roasting alive.
"All right."
Malky took a deep breath.
"Let's go."
The water dragon took a few lumbering steps forward, and we all followed suit. Everyone except for Gemma, that was.
"Tyrion!"
The auburn-haired beauty pleaded with her bondmate telepathically.
"What are you doing?"
The silver dragon was still hovering there in the sky and staring up at his mother like a lost puppy.
"Tyrion,"
I joined in the conversation. "We'll come back for her later, when she's not in the middle of a murderous rampage."
"Well, she's not murderous,"
the silver dragon argued.
"She's just grumpy right now. Let me try to talk to her, and I can get this all sorted out. Then we can be a family again."
Oh, dear. I was definitely gonna have to get involved in this one.
"Ben!"
Mira hissed.
"If we don't go now, we're going to miss our window of opportunity."
That's when I made the decision to do something very, very foolish. "You guys go ahead," I commanded my friends. "We'll be right behind you. So don't stop until you get to the Dragon Queen."
"What?"
Elzara gasped.
"Ben, you just said that sticking by Malky is our only way to escape."
"I said it would be our best option," I corrected her with a smirk. "I never said it was the only one. Gemma, Tyrion, and I will just have to figure something out."
"Figure something out?"
Dalwyn's eyes narrowed.
"Don't be a fool, Ben."
"You say fool, but I say creative problem solver," I reassured the Morpho Queen. "Now get going while you still can. The orcs are already in retreat, and..." Just then, the dragons all shifted their attention to the northern part of the island and let out a frustrated huff. Then they beat their massive wings and started to give chase after the fleeing green bastards.
"Tyrion, please,"
Gemma begged, but the silver dragon seemed unfazed.
"Get to the ship," I commanded my crew. "If the dragons get too much of a head start, we won't be able to catch them."
"What about you?"
Lazan demanded.
"I'll get to you," I promised. "But I want you to set sail the second you're in position. Got it?"
"We're not going to leave you,"
Mira began to protest, but I cut her off with a wave of my hand.
"You won't," I explained. "Now go."
My friends all gave me sad glances, but they weren't about to disobey their captain. So Malky held his water beam high, and then they all began their descent down the mountain. "Your mother isn't herself right now, Tyrion," I explained to the silver dragon. "We need to get back to the ship before she actually realizes we're here."
"I'm not leaving her,"
Tyrion protested. Before Gemma or I could say anything, Tyrion flew up a few feet higher in the sky and let out a long, loud chuff. The rest of the dragons continued to pursue the orcs, but Tyrion's mother seemed to hear her child. Perhaps she actually recognized his voice, or maybe she was just startled by the sudden sound. Either way, her golden body swirled around, and she locked eyes with the adolescent beast.
"Tyrion!"
Gemma hissed with fear bright in her chartreuse eyes.
"Please!"
"See?"
the silver dragon declared.
"She knows who I am! She knows I'm her son, and that she needs to come home with us!"
"Do you trust me?" I asked Gemma. The Nerolope beauty gulped.
"This is a really bad time to ask that, don't you think?"
"Just be ready to jump," I warned. Then I took a few steps forward and prayed Tyrion's mother didn't see me.
What are you doing?
Gemma gasped. But then she followed me. Something wasn't right with Tyrion's mom. She may have looked like the same beast we'd encountered on the Kunag Island, but her eyes were now wrought with rage, and she moved her body in an almost robotic way. A few sparks of red and orange flames flitted from her mouth as she studied her son, and then a soft blue glow began in her chest. Whether Tyrion wanted to believe it or not, his mom didn't recognize him. And if I didn't do something soon, he was going to be toast. Tyrion, I warned as I approached. She doesn't know who you are. You need to take evasive actions right now.
She's my mom, Ben.
Tyrion scoffed.
She'd never hurt her only living son.
The dragon's mom reared back her head, and my heart fell into my chest. She was definitely about to roast both of us alive. I had to act, and I had to act fast.
Jump!
I ordered the auburn-haired Nerolope at my side. Gemma and I both leapt forward toward Tyrion. Gemma was a bit more graceful, so she landed onto his back. But I was forced to grab onto his back legs and then hang on for dear life. Still, my plan worked. The sudden impact of our bodies forced Tyrion's trajectory downward, and all three of us plummeted just as his mother unleashed her attack. I felt the heat of a million furnaces above us as the flames passed by, but they didn't hit us. We were still all in one piece. I wish I could have said the same thing about the volcano. The fire from Tyrion's mom completely blew the top off the volcano and sent large chunks of black stone flying out into the burning forest. I watched in horror as the oversized boulder smashed down onto the ground and hoped none of my friends were in the path. Unfortunately, I didn't have very long to think about it, because we were now faced with a giant, pissed-off dragon. A dragon that now knew we were here.
I hope you know some good evasive maneuvers, I grunted as I stared at the sheer size of the dragon before us.
A few,
the dragon promised me. Tyrion's mom halted her attack, glanced down at her son, and opened her mighty jaws. She then lunged toward our position, and Tyrion was just able to zip out of the way before her razor-sharp teeth gobbled us up whole. Tyrion flew us around to his mother's back so she couldn't see us, and then shot straight up into the clouds. The wind and the gentle mist blew past my face as we ascended, and I continued to hold on for dear life. Then I made the mistake of looking down. Even through the haze of the clouds, I could see the large, looming shape of the golden dragon as it chased after us. My heart sank as I watched her gain on us quickly, and then it practically stopped altogether when I saw the glow of orange from below.
"She's about to light us up!" I warned.
Tyrion broke to the right hard, and a jolt of pain shot through my arms from the sudden change in direction. However, it was the right move. Not more than 2 seconds later, a blast of white-hot fire shot past the spot where we'd just been. It trailed us like a homing missile as we flew, but luckily for us, Tyrion was faster. Finally, after a solid minute, the flames subsided. The air was tense as we waited to see what the golden dragon would do next, but nothing seemed to come.
"What's going on?"
Gemma whispered. "Maybe she thinks she killed us," I suggested. "We are higher up in the clouds, and she spread that beam pretty far."
"I still sense her presence,"
Tyrion admitted.
"But now it's getting further away."
"She probably didn't want to get separated from her group," I hypothesized.
"Why would she give up so easily?"
Gemma questioned.
"Something doesn't feel right."
"Think of it this way," I tried to explain. "If there's a mosquito in your room, you're gonna want to kill it, right? Well, what happens if you're chasing the mosquito, and then you hear somebody call out fire from the other room?"
"Suddenly the mosquito isn't a big problem anymore,"
the Nerolope woman nodded. "And to make things even better," I continued, "let's just say you fired off a freaking nuke at the mosquito before you left. She probably thinks we're dead, and honestly probably doesn't care whether we survived or not. In the mind of Tyrion's mom, there are way more important matters to attend to."
"Hey, I'm sorry."
Tyrion hung his head.
"I know I messed up and put you two into danger. But I just wanted to see my mom again."
It's all right.
Gemma reassured her bondmate with a pat on the neck.
I know what it's like to lose somebody you care about. You know I'd do anything to see my father again, even if that meant risking life and limb like you just did.
I feel you on that one, I added. As much as I love my new life, I miss my sister all the time, and would do just about anything to see her, even though I know the chances of that happening are slim. But you still have a chance to save your mom. We just need to get back to the boat and regroup with the others. I used my upper body strength to pull myself up onto the Silver Dragon's back. Then I nuzzled into the spot right behind Gemma, wrapped my arms around her waist, and gave her a tender kiss on the neck. Tyrion stared off into the distance longingly for a moment, but then he got back to work. The Silver Dragon turned to the south and began to fly back toward our ship. The island was now almost completely on fire, and it was mesmerizing to watch. However, it also brought up a bit of anxiety. These dragons had the power to decimate an entire island like it was made of cardboard and paper. And now, we were about to go out and try to capture them.